This is Jay Sekulow. The United States government to close the official Palestinian Liberation Organization offices in Washington, D.C.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
National Security Advisor John Bolton expected to discuss plans to close the office of the Palestine Liberation Organization in Washington in another show of support for Israel.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The United States is cutting funding for the United Nations agency that helps Palestinian refugees. In a statement, the State Department called the UN Relief and Works Agency an irredeemably flawed organization. Just last week, the U.S. slashed bilateral aid for projects in the West Bank and Gaza.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, in a very bold move, in just a few moments, John Bolton, our National Security Advisor, is going to announce that the United States is going to close the office of the Palestine Liberation Organization, or the PLO. It was founded in 1964 during a summit in Cairo. The organization's initial goals were to, quote, unite various Arab groups and create a liberated Palestine in Israel. Over time, they took on a much broader role. They became a political organization, but you got to be clear that they were for the liberation of Palestine through armed struggle, which much of its violence aimed at Israel. Now, they have been refusing. They are still a governing authority. So let's explain to you what the Palestinian Liberation Organization is and how they operate. They are, their political arm is called Fatah. So that is the PLO. But the PLO is a terrorist organization itself, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. And so you've got a situation where it was started in Egypt and then it gets taken over, probably most well known as Arafat, Yasser Arafat. So this was his organization. And again, I use that term because you have to define all of the different pieces of the PLO. He had this movement called Fatah, which is still used also that terminology.
Yep.
Basically an armed group taking this over. But they also are the governing body in the West Bank. So you've got the political side to this as well. That's Mahmoud Abbas, who you see would be the person who would be leading negotiations with at least that part of the Palestinian territories. That being said, under the U.S. law, which allowed this to open, it was during the Oslo Accords and those peace processes, it says they've got to negotiate. If they stop negotiating for peace, this office closes. The Palestinians have been unwilling under the Trump administration to open up direct talks, to open up peace talks. So this was a move authorized by U.S. law as well. But it may be shocking to people to know that this even existed in Washington, D.C., that you had a liberation organization that you could tie to terrorism operating in our nation's capital uniquely because of the situation, which I think it underscores too. It's not the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. It is the Palestinian Liberation Organization General Delegation to the United States.
Andy, what's your view of the organization? Because the move is to shut it down because they're refusing to negotiate for a peace plan. So the United States is saying, why are we hosting them in Washington, D.C.?
Right. I think that's the hook that the president is using in order to close them down is that they refuse to negotiate. But I think the reality is that we have finally come to recognize, and as many people did not know, that they had an office in Washington, D.C., and was, in my view, a front for their terrorist activities. And the president, I think, has finally had his fill of that and is deciding that we're not going to have organizations whose real goal is terrorism here against Americans, against Israelis, and so forth, operating out of our nation's capital, close them, lock them down, and get rid of them.
So is your sense of it, both of you, this is my sense, is that this is the next step move in to compel the Palestinians, if they want to negotiate peace, to negotiate peace.
Well, that's it. And if it will, and the question is, will this bring them to the table? They're a hard-headed lot, Jay, and they're very difficult to deal with. And this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back one way or the other. But it's up to the president, you know, to make these decisions. He's made it. He's, again, standing firm with respect to the decisions that he's made. But what the outcome is going to be as far as bringing them to the table, I don't know.
We're going to find out soon. What do you think, Jordan? I think this is a bold move to get this moving.
Yeah, absolutely. With the funding cuts especially, this is the next step, which is saying we're not only going to stop the funding to you, we're not going to let you have these authorizations.
Because this came on the heels of the UNRWA funding. It came on the heels of the $60 million funding. We're going to be joined by our David Benjamin, our senior lawyer in our office in Jerusalem, coming up after this.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. 1-800-684-3110. So the U.S. to announce today the closing of the PLO offices in Washington, D.C. because of the failure of the PLO to engage in meaningful peace discussions. We're taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. We're joined by our senior lawyer, Colonel in the Israeli Defense Forces, David Benjamin. And David is an expert on a lot of these issues, been on this broadcast many times, been on a lot of our TV specials as well. David, let me get your reaction to this. The president has said that with the unwillingness of the PLO leadership to meet, to have direct negotiations for peace, has resulted in a decision now that that PLO office should no longer remain open since they're unwilling to go to the table. What's your reaction to this?
Well, this is a new experience for the PLO. Suddenly not to be spoiled and sort of, let's say, over-understood for everything they've done over the years. The PLO have been intransigent on the perhaps some of the most important issues in a possible peace process, notably the question of refugees. So even though the PLO has in many ways sort of changed its spots, at least in a superficial way, and has renounced terrorism, it has still, on the core issues, been absolutely intransigent on matters which, if we can't go forward with those, there's absolutely no way of resolving the Middle East conflict. So this is something they will be unaccustomed to, sort of suddenly having to deal with this kind of pressure, as opposed to being kind of understood, or including by Israel over the years. You know, Israel is always tolerated with the PLO, mostly because of thinking, well, the alternative is worse. You know, Hamas, Islamic jihad organization, etc. But it's not that the PLO is good.
Yeah, right. Well, that's an important point also. The PLO was known as a terrorist organization until very recently. The fact of the matter is they are still in cahoots with terrorist organizations. That's well known. And as David said, the PLO, look, this is not a knock on the Palestinian people. I think the Palestinian people want to live in peace and have jobs, health, and education for their children. I think the leadership is bent on not getting it there. And I think what the president's done by cutting the UNRWA funding, which we pushed hard for, including going to federal court to find out exactly what was going on. What a success that case ended up being, by the way. We unpeeled that onion. And the administration reacted very quickly. But you got to look at the situation as it relates now to, as David said, to the Palestinian Liberation Organization. That's their political group. And it puts them in a very difficult spot, Jordan.
Well, now they don't have their offices giving them all these diplomatic protections, so people have to leave as well. That's part of shutting these offices down. I'm sure it's shocking to people who are listening right now to know that they even had this kind of representation in Washington that was directly tied to a specific political and military terror movement in the Palestinian territories. You can use whatever term you want, but it's not representing like the West Bank. It's representing the specific political and terror movement and armed resistance. I will say I've had experience working with these kind of offices before in Washington, yep. and they basically have full diplomat. They do have full diplomatic status.
Yes,
you wouldn't call it an embassy. They use the term consulate. I don't think the U.S. would even identify it that way. But they're getting full protections of the U.S. government, diplomatic immunities because of that, which allows them. What do you think that I mean? Not only to do normal things, but also bad things because of the diplomatic immunity. You're able to operate freely in the U.S. without being subject to U.S. law.
You know, U.S., I mean, you asked a good question. And then Ruth on Facebook said, when did the PLO office open in the United States? I think it was in the,
1994.
Yeah, I thought it was 1993, 1994. So it's been there for a while. This is when during the more of the peace. Now, what's your sense of this, Andy?
Well, I mean, my sense of it is that the president has had enough of this PLO organization masquerading itself as being, you know, someone who is willing to negotiate some sort of a solution to the situation in the Middle East. And he said, you know, I've had it with you, and you're also supporting the international court and the prosecution of Americans, Israelis, and other people. We don't recognize the jurisdiction of that court, and we never have, because it's an affront to our sovereignty to do so. And so he says, why not just get rid of this altogether? This is, again, the moving of the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, part of the series of bold initiatives this president has taken to see that something positive is occurring in the Middle East.
David, has there been any reaction yet in Israel? I mean, this has just happened and just been announced, actually being announced in the next few minutes. What if any reaction yet?
Okay, at the moment, it's the Jewish New Year in Israel.
Right, and by the way, happy Lashana Tova. Happy New Year. Right.
Thank you. And so actually, Israel is pretty disconnected in terms of the wider public debate. As I said, you know, Israel has always been in a dilemma with the PLO, you know, with funding, with this kind of issue, how to regard the PLO, etc. Because as I say, it's kind of the worst, it's the least worst of the available options, and kind of Israel has often just been interested in kind of keeping the lid, keeping the flames low. You know, remember though that while Israel is trying, for example, to calm the situation down in Gaza, the PLO is actually making it harder because the PLO has a internal Palestinian rivalry with Hamas and are, for example, not transferring funds to Gaza that they're supposed to transfer. So the boiling situation in Gaza, the humanitarian pressure there, is to a large degree, ironically, because of the PLO, not because of Israel. So they're kind of putting their sticks in the spokes of the wheel in all sorts of places. And of course, Americans will know about the issue of funding terrorism and paying pensions to terrorist families, etc., etc. So, and of course, what has happened over the years, they've been given this new international status that most of the world has been happy to provide them with, of being recognized as a Palestinian state, joining international institutions, etc. They've been riding high and not had the sense that they actually have to make any concessions. So this will come as a bit of a slap in the face, hopefully not in a negative sense, in the sense that you do it to a patient or somebody who is in shock and doesn't really realize the reality. Like a bucket of cold water, let's put it that way, and hopefully this will move something. I can't say I'm absolutely convinced that it will, but it's certainly refreshing the attempt to try and change something, because this has been going on for so long, and this entrenches the intransigence that they have shown has really has made everything freeze over, and just trying to move it in some way or another, I think is a positive thing.
You know, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take one. We got David Benjamin on the phone.
Yeah, here. Right to the phones we go. Let's go to Mike in Ohio on line one. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Good.
I just wanted to I think what the administration did here is absolutely fantastic. They're taking common sense issues and they're saying, you know, this just doesn't work. The having the PLO office there on our soil, it's the equivalent of having an Al-Qaeda office on our soil, you know, and it needed to go. And I think that that's part of the Trump administration's draining of the swamp. And I would like, you know, his administration to keep righting these wrongs and not just from a conservative standpoint, but just from a common sense standpoint.
Well, look, the PLO, I'm not a fan of the PLO, as you can imagine. David's right. It's been the kind of, it's the best worst choice of the existing players in the field. And David, that's part of the problem here. I mean, these are evil actors. We don't forget, and you don't, I know, because you live it every day, that this is the same organization that gives money to terrorist families who kill Israelis.
Yes, No, absolutely. I said this ongoing dilemma that no one has really had has dared to really break the balance, you know, to break
right.
this equilibrium that is being created. And I think it's, you know, it has a risk attached, etc. But I think it's going to be, you know, maybe the only chance, at least, to try and change something and bring these guys to their senses. They really actually don't have a sense of what their true situation is. You know, their sense of self importance has been inflated in the way they've been related to around the world. But at the end of the day, you know, on the ground, nothing is there. They're bringing nothing for their own people. And as you say, you know, I really wish the Palestinian people well, and I would love to see everyone go forward on this. You know, it needs to be done. But their leadership is really a curse. It's a curse for them. I mean, that's what the Palestinians have suffered from since, you know, since 1948, at least, is bad leadership that just hasn't allowed
exactly.
anything to go forward. The Palestinians have never missed an opportunity to miss an opportunity, as the famous quote goes.
Yep.
And this might, who knows, maybe this will change something.
Hopefully you're right, and I think these are all positive moves. David Benjamin, Senior Counsel of the ACLJ's office in Jerusalem, thanks for being with us, and again, Happy New Year. Let me say this as well. Our film, Protecting the Promised Land, is now available free on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon, and it gives you a really great look at this entire issue of Israel in the Middle East and the current situation. Let me also say this. It was Golda Meir famously said, that will be peace with the Palestinians when they love their children more than they hate us. They love their children more than they hate us because they train these children to be terrorists oftentimes. And the PLO has been at the forefront of that. All right, we're going to take your calls on this. President, I think he did. Like David said, it's a gutsy move. It's not a move without risk, but it was a gutsy move.
We've taken the approach to stop the funding, especially the discretionary funding specifically to the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. That is a huge, I mean, you put that together, that's hundreds of millions of dollars that the Trump administration has stopped. There's also, we haven't gotten into it as much yet, we talked about it only during the break, the ICC angle to this.
Right.
For both the U.S. and Israel is also very important. That's the International Criminal Court, and that is part of this leg as well. But I do believe also the significance of it happening on Rosh Hashanah
yep.
during this time should not be taken away either. This is often a time when Palestinian terror groups will try to carry out attacks and you know celebrations in Israel.
Yeah, so there you go. That's been the situation in the past. All right, we're taking your calls 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to this support of Israel, and do you agree with the president closing the PLO offices? We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
States to close the Palestinian Liberation Organization's offices in Washington, D.C., founded in 1994 is when that office was founded. The PLO was founded in 1964 during a summit in Cairo. Its purpose is, quote, the, and this is their quote, liberation of Palestine through armed struggle, with much of the violence aimed, of course, at Israel and Israeli civilians. Now, they try to modify over the time. So let's. I think it's important to understand the history of this. The United States is going to close that office. Why? Because they're not engaging in the peace process. But let's talk about what this, what the kind of the evolution of the PLO here, Jordan. I think it's important that people understand that.
Yeah, so it starts out in the 1960s. So after Israel was established in 1948, in the 1960s in Egypt, you've got the Palestinian, what they would call a diaspora. So you've got those who claim to be of that, that category of people all, you know, scattered around. And then Arafat takes it over. That's when it becomes more prominent in the mid-1960s, late-1960s. He's the head of it until he dies. And then it goes to Mahmoud Abbas. So you've only really had two main leaders there. It becomes a really, it's what it says it is. A liberation organization means a military movement, a movement that would use armed struggle, armed resistance, whatever you want, or terrorism, depending on where you're defining this. And if you're reading their definition or someone else's, but armed struggle to overthrow a, an existing government. And that's what they've done. Now, they also have become this political party which runs the West Bank. They used to run both the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. They now only run the West Bank. Now, since the rise of Hamas in the Gaza Strip, they look a lot
more moderate.
They look more moderate. But if you stop looking at just Hamas, which you've seen them get extremely weakened, also in the last few years. And you go back, this was the one we were propping up with our own dollars. We're no longer doing that now.
Yeah, Fatah was the, PLO was the one we were propping up. I asked Harry Hutchinson, joining us, our director of policy during the break, what does he make of this? And if you're just joining us, as the president is announcing through John Bolton that we're closing the offices, the United States is closing the PLO offices in Washington, D.C. This is a major move. The Trump administration will not keep the office open when the Palestinians refuse to start direct and meaningful negotiations with Israel. And Harry, I ask you for your read of the situation.
Well, my read of the situation is that the Trump administration is continuing its campaign of maximum pressure, particularly on organizations that fail to operate in U.S. interest or in the interest of American allies. It's important to take a step back and to note the origins of the PLO, essentially as a group that challenges not only the legitimacy of the State of Israel, but it challenges, if you will, U.N. decision-making in 1947, which established the State of Israel. So their argument essentially is that Judaism is incompatible with a nation state. This is certainly inconsistent with history. They challenge even the historical documents which suggest the Jews' connection to Jerusalem, and they have found allies, if you will, in the UN, irrespective of the historical record.
We have a book on this called Jerusalem, the Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital, and it's came out. It's just hundreds of thousands of copies have already been distributed. For those of you that get on air today and ask a question or a comment, we're going to send you a free signed copy of it. But it's also now available in Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, Amazon, of course. The book title is simply Jerusalem, A Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. It's a book I wrote while we're our time at Oxford through our center that we have there. It's the third book through that Oxford center that we have. The first one being The Rise of ISIS, the second one being Unholy Alliance, which was Iran, Russia, and Syria. The final book in the three-part book series is the Jerusalem book, and that one is now out. So again, if you call us at 1-800-684-3110 with a comment or a question, we will get you a copy of the book. And it'll be something that's helpful. Let me get Wes Smith's comment in there. We'll get them to take a phone call. Wes, your reaction to, I think, look, strategically, here's what's happened. We file a lawsuit against the State Department saying we want to know about the United Nations Relief Works Agency because we think the 7 million or whatever the number was it, what was it? It was a huge number of refugees, was really closer to 15,000. And it ends up, we were correct when they reports actually started becoming available and the way they calculated refugees. That started a cascade of issues, including the magazine, a very well-known magazine, Foreign Policy, wrote a piece condemning us for our position on this. I wrote an op-ed in response to them. We followed up our FOIA request, and then lo and behold, boom. The right now, as we're on the air, it's about to be announced that the embassy is, and it's technically an embassy of theirs, though they're, although they're not a nation state, but their office in Washington, D.C. is going to be closed militarily, significantly. How did your colleagues in the military, Colonel Smith, view PLO?
They view them, by and large, as a terrorist organization. Yeah. That is their roots. That is their history. And this whole idea of the refugees, which, you know, they count every descendant of every displaced Palestinian, and this whole idea of the right of return fits completely into their narrative of wanting to eliminate the nation of Israel. And what the president is doing is despite the protestations of the Palestinian leadership, President Trump wants peace, but he's going about it differently because for decades we've tried to play nice and to give them things in order to bring them to the peace table. They've rejected that. So I see the closing of their embassy, if you will, in D.C., is the president continuing to ratchet the pressure because his desire in reality is to bring peace to that part of the world.
No question.
This fits right in with the Taylor Force Act.
Yeah.
The president has threatened continually to cut
Talk
off
about Taylor
funding.
Force.
Yeah, Taylor Force was a West Point graduate, a student at Vanderbilt University after he got out of the Army, who was killed by Palestinian terrorists while visiting Israel. And with bipartisan support, Congress passed a bill that said to the PLO, we're putting you on notice. If you continue to pay the families of these Palestinian terrorists who kill Jews and Americans, and if you continue to pay the ones who don't die in the act, who are in Israeli prisons, give them a life stipend as long as they're incarcerated, until you quit rewarding murderers, we will begin to ratchet the pressure on you to cut off funding. And so
that passed with bipartisan support.
It did, and that's happening. And I see the closing of their consulate in D.C. as continuing to ratchet the pressure on the Palestinians, calling the situation for what it is and trying to bring them back to the peace table.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, let's go to Phil's call in New York, online to Phil. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, thank you very much. First, I want to say, personally, thank you for the excellent job you are doing in fighting back against the limousine liberal class that controls the media and for doing so with minuscule resources. I thank you for that. My question is this. 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was reading in the newspapers and on the internet that a 5-year truce agreement between Israel and Hamas was imminent. But now I don't see anything about it. Well, has it fallen through?
Yeah, no. So Gaza militants and Hamas rulers said a couple weeks back that they had accepted a ceasefire ending the Israeli massive move on Gaza after the militants started doing what they always do, which is sending out rockets and to civilian areas. So it pulled it back from kind of the brink of war. Would I say, Andy, it's no 5-year peace truce?
No, there is no such thing. And I don't know that it's ever going to happen. Not with what Israel has to contend with on the other side. But I think this is the president moving towards saying, either you're going to be a legitimate organization that represents your people, or you're not. And as far as I'm concerned, you haven't shown that. Get out of here.
And that's what he did with the PLO office being closed. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back for 30 more minutes. Go over to ACLJ.org or Facebook and Periscope. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
The Trump administration is announcing today that it will close the Palestinian Liberation Office. That's effectively their quasi-embassy in Washington, D.C. This is an announcement made by John Bolton, saying the United States will always stand with our friend and ally Israel. The PLO was organized in 1964 during a summit in Cairo, Egypt. The organization's goals were to unite various Arab groups and to create a liberated Palestine. In fact, the goal within their own charter was the liberation of Palestine, and through armed struggle, which has been why they have been for so many years a terrorist organization. I want to go, we're going to take calls at 1-800-684-3110 on this topic. I want to talk about the move of the president here and kind of get everybody's reaction. We'll go this way. Jordan, I want to start with you. The president takes this move, interestingly, on Rosh Hashanah, the day of New Year. And by the way, to our Jewish listeners, Happy New Year, Shana Tova. So we celebrated Erev Rosh Hashanah last night with our family, my grandkids. That was a great experience, as it always is, as you welcome in the new year. But it does, you know, I'm going to save the date significance for Andy because he always likes its significance of dates. But political significance, Jordan, of this.
Yeah, political significance. This again, it's the full-scale approach to taking down the Palestinian authorities' leadership and this feeling that they could get away with murder, basically. In reality, that is true, and not face the consequences. So they would carry out these terror attacks. We have laws on the books, and we have new laws now, like the Taylor Force Act, which, again, says we're not going to fund you if you support these terror attacks and you encourage them by financing the terrorists and the terrorist families who carry out the attacks, and whether or not they're killed or imprisoned after those. So I see it as the full scale. This is the full scale approach to taking down what has been this kind of darling of international, honestly, outside the United States, very influential Palestinian leaders, but inside the United States, even having this office in Washington, that was their crown jewel to have that kind of acknowledgement.
Yeah. Andy, what's your sense? You always look at dates, places, especially with the Middle East.
I do. Times, dates, places, and holidays and events like that are very significant. Things that happen on certain dates are very significant. The president could have done this well before the time that he chose to do it.
Or do it in 2 weeks.
Or in 2 weeks afterward, or not done it at all. But he has chosen the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, as a time to start a new leaf, so to speak. And the new leaf is this: if you are not going to negotiate in good faith, if you're going to support the International Criminal Court prosecution of Americans and Israelis for non-crimes, if you're going to do these things, then you're not going to do it out of Washington, D.C. Get out. And I applaud the president's bold moves and his timing. It's excellent.
Yes, yeah, so Rosh Hashanah is actually today. Yeah, go ahead, Wes. Yeah,
Happy New Year, Israel.
Thank you.
This administration is no longer playing pretend like, Jay. You know, when you're a child, you play pretend like, and it's perfectly normal and healthy. I pretend like I was a cowboy or an army soldier or whatever. The administration is no longer playing pretend like. They view the world as it is, not as we wish it were. And if you look at the actions of the United States and Israel over the last 40 years, they have done everything in their power to bring about peace in the Middle East. And if you look at the actions of the Palestinians, they have shoved peace away with both hands. And their actions speak so much louder than their words. And I think the administration has finally said enough. You know, we will continue to fight and struggle for peace between the Palestinians and Israel. We will no longer play pretend like.
I'd also draw a distinction between the Palestinian people, who I think by and large really want peace, and the Palestinian leadership, who by and large do not. They want a state of chaos. Harry, in 40 seconds, what's your read?
Well, my read is that the president's approach is important because he's interested in combating fiction. The fiction that the PLO is interested in peace. The fiction that UNRWA actually represents 7 million Palestinians, and the fiction that the PLO and the Palestinian Authority is prepared to give up on terror.
All right, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We also have a video coming up for those that are watching on Facebook and Periscope. We encourage you to share this with your friends. We will take more calls when we come back. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ and our office in Jerusalem. And again, Shana Tova. Happy New Year. Talk to you in a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
What a Rosh Hashanah Day announcement is that the administration is going to close the PLO office, Palestinian Liberation Organization, in Washington, D.C. Why? Because they're refusing to negotiate with the Israelis and they're encouraging the International Criminal Court in The Hague to take action against Israel and the United States. By the way, both countries of which, neither country of which, are members of the ICC. We'll save that for a little bit later in the broadcast. We're going to go right to your calls. If you do get on the air with a comment or a call, a question, we're sending you a signed copy of our book, Jerusalem, that I did earlier this year. This book was the third in our series that we produced at our center in Oxford. We've had three books that have come out of that center, two of which were on the New York Times bestsellers list. This one, which was not on the New York Times bestsellers list, but was on the Amazon bestsellers list, has actually sold more than the other two. So there's been three now books put out by our center, a lot of scholarship out of that organization. And it's when you support the ACLJ, you're supporting our work at Oxford that allows for these detailed papers. We have another one out on Turkey as well, so it's been a very active center. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones.
Yeah, Wendy's calling from Idaho on line 3. Wendy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm so grateful for the work that you guys do.
Thanks.
Hey, my question is, was there a specific event that prompted the president to do this?
Well, I think there's two. So you've got one, and it just is breaking now that John Bolton has classified the International Criminal Court. So that's the U.S. government classifying the International Criminal Court. That's how it's being reported internationally as dangerous,
right,
to the world. So there's two.
And we're one of the few groups in the world that have actually done a proceeding before the ICC.
Yeah.
Jordan and I did that.
Yeah. So there is a move by the Palestinians to have the ICC go after Israel. That's part of this. And the second part of this, and I think the bigger issue, is that the Palestinians will not negotiate at all right now on the peace issue. So they've been defunded by the U.S. government, $200 million direct aid. You've got hundreds of millions, so over $300 million to the U.N., which goes through to the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, that has also been stopped by the U.S. We paid a third to that U.N. agency, a third of the budget. That's gone. And there's other discretionary spending that was already cut. So ultimately, those are the two main issues. If the Palestinians want this recognition back, the first step is to begin negotiations with Israel. That would probably reopen their office, is reopening the negotiations. But the bigger issue is that not just their office, but they're not getting the funding either from the U.S. government.
Yeah. So, and when you look at that, that becomes all of a sudden a significant, when the money is gone and then the recognition is gone, Andy, and that happens simultaneously, that present, you're trying to push the PLO to take an action to get them back to the table.
That's the 1-2 blow. Jay, every time I think of PLO and I hear the name PLO, the only figure that comes up in my mind is Yasser Arafat.
Yep.
That's the figure that in my generation was the one, the leading terrorist in the Middle East, Yasser Arafat, in cahoots with every terrorist and behind every terrorist organization and subversive activity in the Middle East was Yasser Arafat. And I don't think the PLO has progressed one bit from its from the kind of mandate and the kind of tactics and practices and transactions that were engaged in by Yasser Arafat. Therefore, what the president has done with respect to expelling him from the United States and its mission in Washington, D.C., is precisely what he should have done.
Wes, do you look at this from a political standpoint, but also from a military standpoint? There's a desire to get peace in the region, no question about it. But the PLO leadership has been intransigent. I mean, they just won't. They are horrible for the Palestinian people.
Right, and we have learned over 40 plus years that they do understand strength in negotiations. They understand consequences, even though they try to pretend like they don't. And you look back at this organization, and their history is one that's rife with violence. And the Palestinian leadership, they have betrayed the Palestinian people. They keep the Palestinian people in a victim status in order to line their own pockets. And this is why they really don't want true peace, because if there were true peace, if there were a separate Palestinian territory and a state, the leadership would lose the victim status, which is how they make political points and how they make money.
Harry, so where do you see, if you're the PLO, how are you reacting to this right now?
Well, the PLO, we should expect the PLO to react with distaste, disdain, and with attacks on the United States. The PLO has a consistent strategy to attack any organization that points out their own faults. As Wesley correctly points out, the leadership of the Palestinian Authority has basically engaged in a campaign of misrule and misrepresentation to the world. They want to continue this conflict. They don't want to recognize Israel's right to exist. They want to use Israel as the basis for claiming that they need additional funding. And they use some of those funds for what? Terrorism and other activities which do not contribute to peace.
Yep.
So the Trump administration is perfectly correct in A, defunding the Palestinian Authority, cutting back on UNRWA funding, and in closing the Palestinian Liberation Authority's office in Washington. These are distinct and necessary steps which will bring pressure to bear on leaders who continue to misrule their own people.
All right, Jordan, let's go ahead and take a phone call at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Doris called in from Pennsylvania on line 5. Doris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Doris.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you great.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm
great.
A little bit nervous, but
don't worry.
I appreciate all that you guys do. And my comment was, when President Trump or any president, you know, uses wisdom and discernment and realizes that our money's going to organizations that are, you know, not really good for us or for our allies.
Yep.
And there's other organizations like that I don't want to get into now. But do you think that's like a blindness? Why do we do that in the first place? Or a lack of wisdom?
I think they do it for hope. I think they think that somehow by spending enough money, you can get them to the table. And in the Middle East, that never works.
No, and it has. I mean, this has been a perfect example of that for decades and decades and decades. Hundreds of millions of dollars, probably over $1 billion a year, honestly, if you've added everything up, in U.S. aid to this group in the millions, at most in the territories.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you just divided up the money and how much each person could get, but the corruption that is there, the terrorism, the indoctrination that goes on, so generational indoctrination. It's not just one generation now, it's three generations deep or more. That is, to me, the biggest issue. So I think this is the new approach, and it's the other approach, which is the heavier hand and the tougher approach. And honestly, in most parts of the world, the heavy hand and more serious punishment approach gets a lot more attention than just handing out money.
What do you, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan is right. There's certain people that when you deal with them, you have to deal with them. They're government. I'm not talking about the people, Jay.
Right.
I'm not talking about the Turkish people or the Palestinian people or even the Greek people. I'm talking about their government. Sometimes you have to deal with sledgehammer diplomacy in order to make your point.
Sledgehammer diplomacy. That's a new phrase Dr. Andrew Economo came up with. We're going to call that a Dr. Economo sledgehammer diplomacy.
And that's what the president continues to do with respect to the situation in the Middle East. But that's sometimes how you've got to approach
these
governments.
Well, the scalpel certainly hadn't worked. The scalpel diplomacy hasn't worked.
No, it has not. It does. It takes their underpinnings, and they're gone. So,
like the Jerusalem fight?
Getting to walk around Washington and then the whole country, but being our nation's capital, and have these diplomatic protections. Not only do they get that through these UN as these observer statuses, but then they get it through Washington, D.C., the United States of America recognition. You take that away, so you shut down this office, you send back the staff. That is a big deal. And you take down the money, that's a bigger deal. So you're shaking up what they have gotten accustomed to being able to get away with without acting honestly, going to peace talks, what they're doing at the International Criminal Court, all of it combined. And we have now John Bolton making this address today in Washington, D.C. on the International Criminal Court. Let's take a listen.
Today, on the eve of September the 11th, I want to deliver a clear and unambiguous message on behalf of the President of the United States. The United States will use any means necessary to protect our citizens and those of our allies from unjust prosecution by this illegitimate court. We will not cooperate with the ICC. We will provide no assistance to the ICC, and we certainly will not join the ICC.
Wow. So now you got the ICC issue in there, the defunding of the PLA, the PA, Palestinian Authority, the PLO, and you've got the saying your office in Washington, D.C. is closed. This is not leading from behind. Let me put it that way. Certainly not leading from behind. I think it's going to get the desired result, which is going to be a more stable region. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your call. By the way, we've got an email out right now that says you're still funding Israel's enemies. That's blunt and disturbing statement, but it's still true, although we are making great progress on that. And we're making great progress because you have let us go to federal court to get an order from a judge that got us the report on the UNRWA funding where $200 million goes. And we're now able to get that stopped because of your work. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Hey, we had a really interesting comment come in. We'll get right back to the phones from Helen on Facebook. So exactly how do they close the office of the Palestinian Liberation Organization? I want a radio audience to hear what Jordan just said, because it's interesting. There's a statute on it. There's a two-part analysis here.
So originally when they were even allowed to open this office, it was after the peace talks in the 1990s. Those Oslo peace accords, which seems like it was a long time ago now, but we've moved so far away from that that they were able to open an office. But under that issue, if they were no longer negotiating, that was the only concern, is not actually agreeing to a peace solution, but just negotiating. And so long as they were negotiating, they could keep that office open. But if not, the U.S. government could shut it down. So it was clear. And they're now not negotiating. They've refused to come to the table under the Trump administration now nearly 2 years. So you've given them time. You've given them the ability to come to the table. They've been unwilling to do that. So you could shut it down. But then the Congress came back and gave more power to the president, said if the Palestinian entities move to go after Israel at the International Criminal Court, you can also shut them down. So it gives a discretion to the executive branch. People may wonder, why wasn't this done before under previous administrations? It's a discretionary act. So the previous administrations could have made this case as well. The Obama administration certainly was not able to get to the table either. The Trump administration has actually been the administration to decide to do this. And the Palestinians are violating both accounts. So the U.S. will go in and literally board up the door and board up the entrances and exits.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. Let's go to line six.
Yeah, Jeanette calling from Georgia on line six. Jeanette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jeanette, go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just wanted to thank you so much for all the work that you do.
Thanks.
I think it's remarkable that you keep people informed. And I am so pleased to see all what President Trump is doing. It's amazing how there's so many idiots in this country that don't give him credit for much of anything. But he is really, really putting the world back on track in so many matters. And as I was commenting, one of the things that I would like to see is that American people will be informed a little bit more. Yep. Like years ago, I got the chance to go and see a presentation of the son of Hamas.
Yes.
Mossad Hassan Youssef.
Yes.
I don't know if you
the
read
son
that
of Hamas.
Book.
Oh, yes, sure. Met him.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I bought the book and he signed it for me. Yep. And it's just incredible to see the insight of, you know, you can gather.
We worked a little bit on his case. They were trying to get him deported. And obviously getting him deported would have been a disaster. He would have been sent back to Syria or Lebanon, and it would have been a disaster for him. But, yeah, he's got a very powerful testimony about becoming a Christian, but also with the inner workings of Hamas itself. So, Jeanette, we appreciate the call. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Diane in Nevada on line one. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yep.
I was responding to your asking for reactions about what we think about the office being closed. I think it's a wonderful idea. And I had a question, though. I've been reading about this over the years.
Yep.
I'm a little on the older side. And did anyone ever count or make a head count of PLOs or just Palestinians
that
in
were
general
that were displaced
who were there in 1947?
Yeah. So this is here's the thing. This is the mystery number, we call it. Let me tell you what it's not. It's not 7 million. Which is what they are claiming now, and we've established that fraud through our litigation.
I think at the max, so this would be the pinnacle, the amount of people who, one, this includes also people who said, I don't want to be here in a Jewish state. So this is not people all forced out. These were people who said, I'm leaving my house because I'm not going to let the Jews run my country. I mean, that was their decision to make. They personally made that decision. There are Arabs living in Israel. There's a reason why they decided not to leave. So they were not, everybody was not forced out. If you take their number though, it's under a million. So it's only at 700,000. That includes, again, people who said, I am not going to live under this new, Jewish state of Israel. And I'm going to leave. And so they then, not all of them registered as refugees though, that group, that is the max number. if you want to look at the Wikipedia number that comes from, and that's the one they're pushing their, you know, their numbers.
But they've
through.
Been playing, Andy, they've been playing this number game now for a long time, and they do it because they get additional aid, which never goes to their people.
It's very successful. I mean, Yasser Arafat played the numbers game. They all play the numbers game. The more you victimize, self-victimize yourself, the more money you're going to get. Before the broadcast, Wesley and I were talking about it. Free health, free education, healthcare, housing, food subsidies, and so forth. That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, and then if you harm the Israelis, you get a stipend for life.
Yes.
If you take it to civilians. Yeah. Let's go ahead and take another phone call here. We're going to try to get them all in this last segment.
Back to the phones we go. Philomene in California, line 4. Philomene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Oh, thank you for all that all of you do.
Yep.
And my question is, how can we be more supportive? And I like the closing of the embassy, by the way.
Yep.
How can we be more supportive of President Trump and encourage our two senators, our Democratic senators, to do so?
Well, I think calling your Democratic senators is a good idea and let them know that you support this move by the United States. But anything else can be done in support of the president. Well, the President Harry's doing this because he wants to upset the apple cart so that we can get some movement on something that's completely stalled. And that
I think that's
peace
absolutely
initiative.
Correct. The president's policy is grounded in reality. Prior U.S. policy was grounded in an illusion, for instance, that the Arab leadership was actually interested in peace. It's important to remember a little history. So in 1948, when the State of Israel was declared, the Arabs then declared war on Israel. In 1967, they declared war again on Israel. And in 1973, and they continue to declare an undeclared war on Israel through intifadas and terrorism. So the Arab leadership has been exposed without wearing proper clothing.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Tim in North Carolina on line 3. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call, and I also appreciate everything you guys do. Really quickly, and you guys have already kind of touched on this. From the time I was little, I can remember hearing about the PLO. It's no secret that this is a terrorist organization. Why in the world are they getting hundreds of millions of dollars?
Well, this administration has stopped that. They're not getting – those have stopped, and we filed a lawsuit. Those things have stopped. But here's what John Bolton just said about the closing of the PLO offices.
The United States will always stand with our friend and ally, Israel. And today, reflecting congressional concern with Palestinian attempts to prompt an ICC investigation of Israel, the Department of State will announce the closure of the Palestine Liberation Organization office here in Washington, D.C.
That's as bold as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you cut the funding. You
stop their ability to be diplomatic.
Yeah. So you stop their ability to have this office in Washington, D.C. and all that comes with that for their diplomats. This is, again, this is the opposite approach we have seen taken by every political executive branch and administration since 1948.
Yep.
This is the opposite approach. Yep. And I think it's the approach we've all been waiting for, which is enough, a deal trying to buy out terrorists.
Wes, what do you think?
Yeah, for 54 years since the founding of the Palestinian Authority, we have tried the same thing. We've tried to coax and reward them to give us peace. It has not worked. Insanity, you know, that is, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. The president is trying to do something different. And I believe if there's any hope for peace, this might work.
I agree. We've got an email out on this whole issue right now. So if you're not getting the emails of the ACLJ, you just go over to ACLJ.org and sign up for those. Same thing on social media. You need to be following us on Twitter, Facebook, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ, and again, Twitter as well. We encourage you to do that. And Facebook, I've got a page, so does Jordan, so does the ACLJ. We encourage you to do that. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It was a quick hour today. Happy New Year to our Jewish friends.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.